9, and he'll about raise up to 20 meter.
This is W8MEL. This is W8MEL.
This is 55 LBO. Can anybody copy?
That he worked over there in
Las Vegas, and this guy knew Joe Walsh really good, and I guess Joe Walsh was there, even though he didn't speak to him. He was in the shack at the time, so he showed me his QFL card, and then on the back of it, the guy's name was Scott, and then he said, and Joe sends his best wishes, or something like that. So, yeah, that's kind of cool.
No, I'm thinking that maybe the problem is on my end with this radio. Yeah, I'm not going to mess with it, but it just stay downstairs, but I don't want to get yelled at when, you know, somebody gets on.
Okay, very good. Well, I won't tie up the repeater here, but at least I know there's another one in town again. That's kind of nice. So, got a program in here, and so we'll get back on here at some other time there. So I'll meet you back on 5-8 if you want. This is WYAT.
Yep, sound great. I think it's like a wide slash narrow setting on my radio that's making it sound like that. Never know. 73 for now, back on 5-8, KG5LVO.
W-8-M-Q-T,
listening. KB5, W-Y-A-D. Yeah, the train is, the lights are on, but there's no train. And the gates aren't down.
I'll get there and push it up.
Hey, Dan, how do I sound on this computer?
Kind of hard to hear you there, Rich.
It's cutting out.
Am I cutting out on you, Dan? W-I-D.
My end is a bit.
Guys, doubled.
Go ahead, Stu.
I was just wondering if I'm cutting out on you or am I solid into the repeater?
Oh, you're in it, but the audio is a little goofy. I think it almost sounds like it's overdriven.
Okay, I bet you there's got to be a mic gain on this radio that I'm not aware of. I have to look for it and turn things down, probably over deviation.
Better look for wide or narrow.
Anyway, if the wife is home, I got to talk with her for a bit. W-Y-E-D.
Equalization for transmitting. But anyway... I'm at home, so I better get in there and see what's going on. So, might come back out here later and see what's going on. So, I'm going to see 7-3 for now. And, probably catch you tomorrow. I got tomorrow off, so, I'm going to install a 2-liter amplifier into the truck here. See how that works. But anyway, 7-3.
Dan, talk to you later, Stu. KB5 LPO. Great to hear you guys on 220. I think we're doubling you, Dan. He said he had to go downstairs or something. See you later, Dan.
WB9YPA, LaPorte.
W8MQT, W8MQT, this is WBNYPA, you're on temp. WB9YPA, LaPorte. WB9YPA. WB9YPA.
KD9QGP mobile and listening.
This is WB9YPA.
Hey, how's it going? I'm mobile and I just thought I'd stop on this frequency and see if I made it to the repeater. Sorry about that background noise. Name here is Dustin. Call KD9QGP.
Okay, where's your, what's your QTH?
My QTH is in Munster, Indiana, but right now I'm mobile and I'm in Merrillville, Merrillville on 61st Avenue.
Oh, you're in Munster. Okay, yeah, I know where you're at. Yeah, you're going in through the Valparaiso machine. Yeah, I used to irritate people that lived there. I'd call it Monster, and they didn't like it.
Yeah, roger that. I'm originally from Hammond, so the fact that I moved to that town after living in the city of Hammond my whole life was a big change for me, but the schools are hard to beat.
Oh, Munster schools are hard to, you're saying. Okay, good, good. I hope they, yeah, I hope the schooling is better there. That sounds like, yeah, that's good. That's encouraging. Let's see. And I've got the other half of my radio is barking. I'm on a, I'm talking on a 2 meter, 220 mobile radio. An old Kenwood from the 80s. No, it's a 90s radio.
Oh, that's really cool. That's really, really cool. I've only been in the hobby for about 4 or 5 years, and I really like it a lot. And a lot of those older radios really intrigue me. I need to... I've been eyeballing some online. I'll probably have a hard time operating them, to be fair, but, you know, it'll be a fun challenge.
Yeah, it's a cool rig. I bought it at a ham fest for $100, and I gotta tell you, it's probably the nicest. It's, you know, I can, yeah, while I'm transmitting, I can hear, I can listen to 2 meters, and vice versa. So... It's like full duplex. It's pretty neat. And I probably should turn the volume down on it a little bit so I can hear myself think. Yeah, okay. So, good to meet you. And I'm happy that Matt, the owner of that repeater you're going into, I'm sure he would be encouraged to hear that somebody's... that you're using it, so That's awesome. Welcome. Welcome to the Valparaiso 220 repeater. Cool. I wish Matt was here to talk to you.
Yeah, Roger that. I appreciate that. And, you know, I scan around quite a bit and hear a lot of nothing sometimes. And it's interesting for me to see where I can get in this mobile. And this one seems it's coming in real good here where I'm at in Maryville on my mobile. So, yeah, it's awesome that he has a 220 up, and I like 220. It's a cool band, and I always get, even though I'm new to the hobby, I always get worried with that whole use it or lose it scenario where if people aren't using these frequencies, I feel like you never know what could happen. So I'm glad he has the repeater up, and, you know, I'm going to keep it on this channel a lot more so I can monitor and check in here and there and see who's listening. And I do appreciate you coming back to me, of course.
Yeah, I was in a QSO on 2 meters. I was going through the 146.97 repeater. And when I heard you come on, and so I signed with them, and we were just wrapping up our QSO. So that's pretty cool. And wanted to make sure that you knew that somebody heard you. So, yeah. Yeah, name here is Mike, and I think you told me what your name was. Maybe not. But, yeah. There's, yeah, see, you're hearing me from, the machine I'm talking into is the 220 system in South Bend. So that this machine is, like, almost permanently, yeah, pretty much permanently connected to the one at Valparaiso.
Oh, Roger that. Yeah, that's really cool, South Bend, yeah. Name here is Dustin, by the way. Dustin calls KD9QGP. Yeah, that's cool that it's linked. And I'm a cable lineman, cable TV lineman, and for 28 years I worked for Comcast in sort of the same footprint, Hammond, Gary, Whiting, East Chicago, Northwest Indiana mostly, a little bit of Illinois. But I have a new position in another company, and we've been doing a ton of work in South Bend and Mishawaka and Elkhart and all these other cities that I've never really worked in before. So I've been in South Bend quite a bit over the past 6 months. So maybe I should bring a mobile with me and see if I can't get on some of those repeaters in the future.
Okay, yep. Yeah, you'll be able to hit the one in the 220 machine in South Bend. And there's some other repeaters, 2 meters, located in this area as well. So, yeah, that's cool. You might be able to hear me operate direct. I'm going to go direct and see if you can copy me. Let's see, I'm probably a good 50 miles from the repeater, so I'm going to try it. That Valparaiso repeater really works great. I mean, it really hears well. And so I'm going to switch over there and see if you copy WB9YPA.
Roger, Roger. I'll be listening.
For some reason, right now I can't hear it.
That's odd. Who knows? I'm in the middle. I have wires strung all over my truck right now because I'm in the middle of finding the best locations and what radios I want to roll with in here in my truck. And I have 3 radios right now on. And I got a mess going on here, to be honest. I have 4 antennas on this vehicle right now. So I have my own problems over here, sir. Oh, some of my own problems.
Oh, yeah, let me tell you, yeah, I know what that's like, too. I do service calls and stuff, too, but you're in the cable field, I'm in the broadcast field. So we put fires out, don't we? Yeah, that's strange that I can't hear Matt's repeater, the KC9YNM system. I cannot pick it up. I don't even faintly detect it with my radio, which is really strange. Normally I can like on a 99% basis, I can usually hear it. So I don't know what's happening there. Maybe he's on a real low power. Maybe his transmitter's running real low power or something.
Yeah, I hear you on that. Man, with all the storms and stuff, well, depending on where he's at, who knows, anything's possible. And broadcast, that's pretty cool. What, talking about TV or radio or both or what?
No, AM and FM, no TV. I got out of the TV stuff. I had enough of the television broadcasting.
Yeah, I hear you on that. Man, I'll tell you what, man, I watch so many YouTube videos on those AM and AM, FM, and shortwave stations and all the goings-on in those buildings, and man, so cool. Some of the old-school setups and the new stuff, I appreciate it all, obviously, but, man, some of that old stuff, the shortwave stuff and some of even the AM stuff, obviously, it's a cool. It's amazing anybody figured all that out and how much it's progressed over the years. It is really cool. So it's cool that you get to mess with it. Well, I guess I say it's cool from the outside looking in. For you, it's probably like, okay, here we go again.
No, it's the same thing. Yeah, I look at it in the same identical way. It is cool. I love working with high power electronics. You know, things when you hit the high voltage button on a transmitter and there's something wrong and it sounds like an M80 firecracker goes off or like a stick of dynamite and you think to yourself, this is going to be a long day. But I enjoy stuff like that. The owners of the radio stations don't particularly care for it because usually when something goes kaboom like that, you just see dollar signs.
Yeah, oh yeah, I hear you. I hear you on that. And those dollar signs in those environments aren't, it's one thing to blow up a ham radio and let the magic smoke out, as they say, or the big booms. Well, they're smaller booms in our ham radio world, but yeah. Those big booms in those environments, we're talking big, big money, I'm sure. And, it's really cool to see the big power, man, the 50,000 watt stations and stuff. I only see them on YouTube and stuff. But it always reminds me of all the, you know, all the head ends I've been in for cable over the years and how much they've changed from when I started in the 90s and how it wasn't primitive by any means, but, you know, it was just a whole different world. And with so much fiber optics and all networking and stuff nowadays, it's still it's all cool stuff, but, you know, the technology changes fast. But I'm sure you see it, even though the base main things have to stay in radio, which is cool. How they get their content, I'm sure, has changed a lot over the years. But either way, it's cool all the way around, that's for sure.
You have to go out to the head end at those sites. Are there sites you go or where there's a head end, or did they get rid of those?
Yeah, Roger. I don't go anymore because I'm not with Comcast, but for the 28 years I was with Comcast, I spent a lot of time in the head end. There's dedicated head end techs, and there's definitely head ends still all over the place. There's less than there used to be. You know, every city had their own head end in the 90s. Like Hammond would have one, Gary would have one, Valpo, Portage. Every city had their own little head end. But now they're just more like little hub sites, in and out stuff. And then you have your major, bigger head ends, like in Griffith, Indiana, there's one. In Homewood, Illinois, there's one. And there's a lot of fiber linking and stuff. But, yeah, I definitely go in there, and that's why I appreciate watching the broadcast audio videos and seeing those head ends in comparison, because it's similar stuff. I mean, it's RF bouncing around all over the place, and just how you get it from one place to the other. And, yeah, so I spent a lot of time in head ends helping out or just watching and learning and stuff like that. So, yeah, and they're still around here and there.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I didn't know. Yeah, I figure with the fibers and stuff, you know, that are sprouting up all over the fiber connections, did away with a lot of them. So there's probably not that many head ends anymore. I'm sure, like you say, you know, they're all over the place, but maybe every city no longer has a head end because now they can do so much stuff over the fiber optic cable. But, yeah, and broadcast, the highest power AM I've ever worked with is only 10,000 watts. So I've never worked at a 50,000 watt AMer. Now, on the FM site, I've worked with 50,000 watt FM stations, but because of the antenna gain, the highest power transmitter that I've ever had to work on the FM band was a 30 kilowatt. Unit, single tube, a 4CX 20,000, and that's in the RF output stage. Then they've got solid state versions of those, and they use a whole bunch of power amplifier stages that are all combined to get that kind of output power.
Yeah, it's so amazing how that works, and how big, I mean, even though, well, I don't know about the new stuff, but how big, man, those transmitters have to be with those giant tubes. And you said only 10,000. Yeah, that's tiny, huh? Well, I guess these CB guys drive around in their trucks nowadays, well, probably forever since CB came out. But, yeah, 10,000, man, isn't that insane when you think about you're on an HD and you're doing 5 watts, and then all of a sudden you're over here looking at 10,000 or 30,000, whichever it'll be, with that giant antenna. Really cool stuff, man. I'm trying to think of the station I'll never remember. I think it's in St. Louis, maybe. One of the guys that I watch on YouTube, he was there, I think it's a 50,000 watt station, maybe. But, man, the coax, and I'm not sure what they do for, like, 10,000 watts and stuff, but the coax, that's the pipe, basically a big pipe with a little pipe in the middle. Man, so cool. That's really cool to me. I guess I'm a nerd, I think. Back to you.
Dustin, I can appreciate it. Yeah, I nerded out too long time ago. Yeah, on 10,000 watt on AM, because the frequency is so low, you can get away with only 7/8 inch coax or heliax. You know what that stuff is. But on 50,000, I think they're running inch and 5/8 coax cable. So, you know, there's either heliax for that or rigid. And you probably know about, you know, the difference between rigid, that's just copper pipe, and then the heliax inch and 5/8. So, yeah, so that's big enough for 50 kilowatts of raw power. But on FM, now it's a little different. We run for like a 30,000 watt transmitter. We're running like 3 1/8 inch coax. So that stuff gets pretty good sized.
Man, that's really cool, man. That really is. And, yeah, I didn't really think. It's funny that you mentioned the low frequencies because that's my life in the cable world. Well, it's not as much now because, like you said, with the fiber optic, I'm still doing coax stuff. But, like, you know, the majority of the stuff that I do these days, when I was at Comcast for all those years, I was a line technician that fixed and repaired outages and, like you said, putting out fires and maintaining the plant. And the plant was always fiber fiber backbone with coax, you know, to the houses and trunk cables and feeder cables and all that kind of good stuff. But nowadays, it's mostly fiber. And, yeah, definitely that low end. So, yeah, you obviously lose way more signal on the high end than you do on the low end. So that was always a problem in some of the areas I worked. They built them as, like, a 550 megahertz system max. So it'd be, like, 54 megahertz to 550 would be the highest channel. And then they retrofitted. They kept retrofitting and upgrading the amplifiers to go to 750 and then 860, and then you just get these massive roll-offs on the high end because that attenuation changes, like you said. So it's pretty cool, man, that it's the same in both worlds. I mean, like I said earlier, I guess RF is RF any way you look at it.
Yep, and the primary difference is you're dealing with 75 ohm coax, as broadcast is pretty much all 50 ohm.
Yeah, roger that, man. Oh, dude, when I first got into ham radio like 4 or 5 years ago, and I had rolls and rolls and rolls of 1-inch cable and 1-inch, everything from, you know, RG11, which I guess you would, I don't know, like an LMR 400-ish, and all the way up to 1-inch or inch or 1125 cable. And I was like, ooh, yeah. And then I was like, oh, no, 75, 50 ohm, not going to happen. Because that coax gets pricey when you start messing with LMR 600 and 400 and stuff, if you need that, which you really don't always need, depending on how high you're going, I guess.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, stuff I never work with anymore. I used to when I was in TV. It was the waveguide stuff, but now maybe you see some waveguide stuff, but I don't. Not an AM, FM broadcast. I never work with waveguide. Nothing over, you know, your normal studio transmitter links are 950 megahertz. But that's the highest stuff that I work with. So, and that's still using coax, so I never see any waveguide type stuff with what I do.
Yeah, that's interesting. And like with the fiber, it's all changing so fast. And, you know, they're doing fiber to the homes now and stuff to try to eliminate the coax. But, you know, bandwidth was always an issue. But, you know, before digital was the big thing, you know, the analog, they were always crammed for space because every analog channel was 6 megahertz wide, so you're only fitting so many of those in a, you know, in a 550 megahertz system before you're out of space. And then when digital started coming around with compression and everything, you know, you can get 6 channels in, and then next thing you know, you can get 12 channels in the 6 megahertz space, and it evolved so fast. But, you know, with that, there's challenges too, but the fiber optics is just ridiculous all the way around. You know, you can go 20, 30 miles and with a 1 dB DVMV laser at the head end and still have signal at the node 20-something miles away. You know, it's pretty interesting. That fiber is no joke, but, you know, those frequencies are up in the 15, 50 nanometers and crazy stuff like that. So, you know, that's like, well, it's a laser, so there you go.
That's something I never had to mess with, was fiber. I did when I was at the TV station, but, yeah, I did years ago, but I never had to, you know, learn how to splice it or, you know, or put launchers or anything like that on there. So I never had to mess with that. But, yeah, there's, you know, having to lap that surface on the end of that fiber cables and stuff. I never had to get into any of that stuff. Went on a few seminars for that, but that's about the extent of it. So, but, yeah, that's cool. I hope I catch up with you again. It'd be nice if there were some more hams in your area that would get on the Velpo machine. Things have kind of slacked off here a bit. I think, and I'm going to look, but it's possible we might be linked up into the Grand Rapids repeater and some other repeaters up in Michigan.
Oh, very cool, very cool. Yeah, I definitely, I'm going to keep, like I said, I'm going to monitor more, and I'm going to have my group of guys start getting more on this, on these 220s and stuff, because, you know, it, changing it up here and there is fun, and you start meeting other people in different fields like yours and stuff, and that makes things interesting. I mean, I don't mind talking to my same guys, you know, that's fine, but branching out is definitely awesome, and, yeah, it's good timing, man. I really appreciate you coming back to me. I'll definitely keep this in my rotation here. And I'm about to pick up my daughter from her volleyball practice now. So, yeah, I'll definitely get with my buddies here, and maybe we can get some roundtables going and talk about, well, you know how ham radio goes, whatever comes up.
Oh, yeah, it's an awesome service. I try to think of it as a service. At least that's what the, you know, the rules and regulations still call it a service. I just hope they don't deregulate it out of existence. I hope they don't drop these testing requirements and stuff, because there's enough riffraff as it is on the HF bands without having to invite people in that never had to go through any disciplinary actions. You know, as like going and having to learn stuff and take a test. So that concerns me a little bit. So right now, I guess the FCC is currently looking for input in the form of letters that, or, you know, emails that, you know, as in response to their looking at further regulation. So that's something to keep in mind. Hey, 73, again, I got your suffixes, like 9QGP, but the first part, I think it was, what, is it KC9, or is it like KD9, I forget.
Yeah, it's KD9QGP, Kilo Delta 9, Quebec, Golf Papa, and yes, it's a very interesting call sign, I know. So, yeah, right. Yeah, if you write it down, I'm good on QRZ for emails or anything like that. And, yeah, but I'll definitely monitor this, man, and I appreciate you talking to me here. And what was your call sign again so I can write it down? I actually have a pen. I can't believe it. I'm ready when you are.
I'm good in QRZ as well. So, yeah, I know. I have to write everything down. Okay, very good. KD9QGP, I know you have to sign. This is WB9YPA, Whiskey Bravo 9, Yankee Papa Alpha. Name is Mike, 73 to you. And catch you down the coax, as they say. See you later.
WB9YPA, Mike. Gotcha, brother, from KD9QGP. Sounds good. I will catch up soon, and hope to talk to you soon here. 7-3, my friend.
7-D-3.